Morning. One of the sources for the chiyuv to give ma'aser is from Yaakov Avinu, that he promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he would protect him and guard him in the house of Lavan, then he would give ma'aser from everything that he earns. Now, as we've learned, giving ma'aser is a tremendous skula, tremendous inyan. It's a skula for ashiras. But as we pointed out, that the Zohar writes that although ma'aser is important and although tzedakah is important, that's only true when you're giving tzedakah, when you're giving ma'aser from your money. Masha ein kein, a ganiv, a person who has money that he's not entitled to, that came to his hands shaloi kedin. There the Zohar writes, v'ayloi de'askara l'cheit. There the giving tzedakah is not a schus, it's a kitrub. If a person has stolen money and he wants to do a mitzvah with it, the mitzvah to do is v'heishev es hagzela. Giving it to tzedakah is a way to make him feel good. It's a way for it's an adrabah. It will prevent him from doing tshuva. The Meiri in Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yudal writes, he's explaining the Mishnah that you're not allowed to collect tzedakah from a moiches, someone who is a gazlan. So he says the reason why we do not take tzedakah, even in cases where this money may not be stolen money. But he says, by accepting tzedakah from a gazlan, you're being marzike yidei avera. And he says that what's going to happen is this gazlan is going to, in his mind, he's going to think that his gazela is his ticket to olam haba. Because through it, he was able to become such a baal chesed, become such a nadven. And that's why we do not accept tzedakah from gazlanim. I think it's no coincidence that the makar of giving ma'aser is from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, we know, Vayivaser Hulavadoi, Yaakov went back for the Pachim Ketanim, and as the Gemara and the Medrash explain, that Yaakov went in the middle of the night, he risked his life for these jugs, because a tzaddik, someone who worked hard for his money, every penny that he has, is Erlich HaGelt, so their money is Chavav Aleihem, and that's why he went back. And Yaakov was a person who, after being in Beis Lavan for so many years, when Lavan came after him, so he yisi ba yoi machalani chayra v'kerach balaylo v'atido shenasi mi'enoi. Yaakov was able to say that zeli estrim shana b'veisecho avaticho. Yaakov was able to say that he had been there for 20 years. He had worked faithfully day and night. He had done everything that he could, and every penny that he had, everything that he owned, was Erlich HaGelt. And that's why Yaakovina was the source and the makar for the mitzvah of ma'aser, because that is what ma'aser is. That is what tzedakah is. First, you have to make sure that it's yours, that it's Erlich, and then you can talk about Hilchos tzedakah. Now, last week we began talking about who you give tzedakah to. Meikar Hadin, the mitzvah of tzedakah is v'chechicha imach v'chiyamuch achicha. It's achicha. It clearly applies only to a yid. Nevertheless, mishum evo chazal u'mesakim from darkei shalom, that mefarnes in aniyei Yaakov im aniyei Yisrael. You can give money to an ani who is not Jewish. Now, although normally just to give a present to a goy for no reason, where you don't have a relationship, is an iser v'lo sichonim, b'pnei darkei shalom they were matarit. Not only is it mutter to give tzedakah, but we're talking about using money that was separated for tzedakah, for ma'aser, and still mishum eva chazal were mekel. Now there was a machlokes rishonim. Some are medayik, mefarnes ani Yaakov min ani Yisrael, that it's only when a goy and a yid both come together to collect. So there, if you would give to the yid and not to the goy, that would create eva. However, if the goy comes on his own and you just decide not to be generous, there, according to some rishonim, this does not apply and you should not give tzedakah. Others say, look, we don't make such distinctions. If you do not give money to a goy, regardless of whether he's with a yid, not a yid, but it'll cause eva. La halacha the poskim say hakol lefi inyan. If the situation is such where by not giving it'll cause eva, you should give. The situation is such where it won't make a difference, it's not going to prevent any evil, then there's no reason to take money that you could use to give real tzedakah and to use it to give it to a guy. But hakol lefi inyan. What?
If this Mishnah, if you're allowed to use Maisa money.
Yes, the Mishnah is talking about allowing him to take Leket Shechon Peah, which is Moyes Aniyim. There it just says you don't have to stop him, but Derech Amunah says you can give your Moyes Maiser for this as well. This is when we're dealing with a guy. What is the halacha about giving tzedakah to a yid that's not Shemar Torah Mitzvahs? He's not from. And we have that question about an individual. Sometimes people go around collecting and they don't look like they're from. And a second question is, what about organizations that are Jewish organizations, but they are not from organizations, and the money, and at least some of the money is being used for things that are not consistent with the Torah Dekan Hashkafa. And lastly, and although this is a little bit of a separate inyan, but we'll see, really the halachas come from the same sugya, is what is the halacha about giving tzedakah or pidyon shvuyon for a criminal? You have a yid, he commits a crime, he gets caught, he gets sent to jail. Or is there a halacha of pidyon shvuyon? Do you have to go ahead and you have to make every effort to keep him keep him out of jail and to rescue him? In other words, today should this be a kickoff parlor meeting for the Bernard Madoff Pidyon Shvuyon Fund? Pidyon Shvuyon is the highest form of tzedakah. So, what is the halacha? Is there a chiyuv or not? So, the sugya that we're going to deal with is that, as we're going to see, there are really two separate sugyas, but we'll take one at a time. The Mishnah in Gittin Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis writes like this: Hamoicher is atzmei ve'ezbonov lo'evdei kachavim. A person sold himself and his children to a goy. A package deal. He sold the whole family to a goy in order he was desperate for money. So Zog the Mishnah, although there is normally a chiyuv of pidyon shvuyim, pidyon shvuyim is considered the highest level of tzedakah. It's considered pikuach nefesh, leisamna adam reyecha. Every minute you wait is considered a kihilu shevich damim. But in this case, where the person voluntarily sold himself and his entire family into slavery, the Mishnah says, ein poydenoisa. We don't redeem him. If he sold himself, we let him stay by the guy. We don't have to worry about him. Zok the Mishnah, avo poydenes abonim lachar misas avihim. But after the father dies, then we have to rescue the children. And as Gemara explains, as long as the father is alive, he's going to watch the children. He'll make sure they don't do averis. But once he's no longer there, no one's there to protect the children. We're afraid that they'll go off the derech, and therefore we rescue them. Now, what this Mishnah seems to say very clearly is that if a person puts himself in harm's way, he sells himself on his own, we have no rachmanus, we let him rot in jail, there is no chi of opinion shvuyim. Now, before anyone jumps to conclusions, we can't pass him from the shayas. The Gemara in the first line qualifies this Mishnah. And Gemara says as follows: Amar Ravasi, v'hu shemochar v'shano v'shilesh. This Mishnah that says that if he sold himself, there's no chi of opinion shvuyim, means he's a serial seller. He sold himself to slavery three times. He's done it three times already. We say there's a pattern, there's a chazaka, mishum tikkun olam, we can't keep on bailing him out. But if he sold himself once or twice, even though he sold himself, it was his conscious decision, the bottom line is today he's a yid, today he's riding in jail, today he's a shavuy. And therefore, the halacha is the first two times you have to rescue him. Even the third time, the Rishonim explain, the reason why we don't rescue him after three times is mishum tikkun olam. Because if you would keep on rescuing this person, everyone would realize this is a wonderful way to raise money. Sell yourself into slavery, go around for a pidyon shvuyim campaign, it sounds great, people will get excited, they'll donate money, and mishum tikkun olam, we say, once it's done three times, ad kan, enough, and for now you're on your own, and that will discourage other people from doing the same. Now based on this, the Yam Shel Shlomi has a chiddush. He says, the reason why after three times we don't redeem him is not a punishment. It's not like he's such an... The reason why we don't redeem him is tikkun olam. Because once it's a pattern, we have to. If we don't put our foot down, everyone will do it, and there'll just constantly be these pidyon shvuyim campaigns. Zog the Yam Shel Shlomi, Imkein. If you have a city where people become rogel, it becomes the newest thing to do, save yourself into slavery because you know that you'll get bailed out. So if someone does it, even though he has no history, he never did it before, Zog the Yam Shalom, the same tikkun oilam will apply. You don't need that this person did it three times. You just need that it becomes commonplace in the city. I guess if it's done three times in the city, I don't know what the time frame is. But if it becomes common, then the tikkun oilam kicks in. And even though it's your first time, we don't have an obligation to save you. So with the pshat in three times, it's not a punishment, it's a tikkun oilam. And once it becomes common, once it becomes rago bekach, we say there's no longer any chiyuv hatzalo. There's no chiyuv opinion shvuyim. Now, I mean, yesh ladoin, if a person is in jail for committing a crime, so it would sound like from over here that if he did it once or twice. So just like if you sell yourself into slavery, the first two times we have to bail you out. It's only the third time we can say let him rot in jail. So the same thing, l'chayru, should apply to a criminal who was caught. The first two times we should have a chiv to bail them out. And afterwards, this tikkun oilam should kick in. Now, truth is yesh l'adam, according to this Yam Shel Shloimei, if you hit a situation where it's ragol b'kach, where there are many people are getting arrested and people are now being seimich that it's okay, I will always be bailed out, maybe according to the Yam Shel Shloimei, the tikkun oilam would kick in. But again, tzarichin, you'd have to look at the case. And is it really true? Are people committing crimes because they're assuming that at the end of the day someone will come in and save them? Now, this case, you're selling yourself into slavery, is a case where he sold himself into slavery, but there doesn't seem to be a risk of life. The Gemara then continues, and the Gemara says like this. The following story. Ahu Gavro, Dozavin Nafshe Luludoi. Someone sold himself, but instead of selling himself to a regular guy, he sold himself to a cannibal. Now, that is not a wise thing to do. And he realized that if he doesn't get out quickly, he's going to end up being eaten for lunch. So, Asla came to Rav Ami, he came to Rav Ami, and Amr Lei Pirkun, he came to Rav Ami crying, this cannibal, my boss is going to eat me for lunch, you have to save me. Amr Lei, Tanan, Hamachar Satsme Vezbono, Loiv Kachavim, Ain Poydin Oysai. He says, the Mishnah says, you're not Poyd to him. Abba Poydin has a bottom Mishnah Kokula, but the children Lachamisa you do. Now, from this Gemara, it's clear that he had done this more than once. Because otherwise, the Gemara says that the first two times, either way, you have to rescue him. So it must be this person has a history. He had done this three times. He had somehow escaped or been saved. So Rav Ami said like this. It says that once he does it three times, you don't save him. But Mishnum Kilkul, if the children are going to do, after he dies, you rescue the children because they'll do Averis. Zog Rav Ami, V'koshkin Hocha Dika Ketola. Zog Rav Ami, that over here, where his life is in danger, there, even if he did it three times, there's a chiyuv hatzal. In other words, like we said before, really, every time if a person sells himself into slavery, each time you have an obligation to rescue him. Mishum tikkun olam, after three times we put our foot down. And we say we made a gzeira, ad kan, it's too much, and we're not going to be paid to him, because people will take advantage of this. This gzeira, this takana, isn't in normal circumstances. But if a person's life is in danger, there, this takana does not apply. And no matter how many times he did it, Rav Ami held, there is a chiyuv to be paid to him. So now there's another Yam Shel Shloimei. And this is the Yam Shel Shloimei over there in Gittin, the Divrei Malkiel, and Rav Perlau in the Pirush Rav Sadia Goin, and it's really very much meduyik in the Yushami as well. They say a very big chiddush. Zog the Yam Shel Shloimei, and the way to explain it, it's not really the Yam Shel Shloimei, what they say is like this. Why do you have a chiv to save someone's life? So there's a mitzvah of Lo Yisamar Adam Recha, there's a chiv of Hashavas Gufa. Just like if you find someone's money sitting around the street, you have a chiv of Hashavas Aveda. You have to rescue his money, you have to safeguard it and return it to him. So if it's Kol Shkein, V'Kol Shkein, if his life is in danger, you have to save his life and make sure he doesn't get killed. Now what's the halacha? If you're walking down the street in Manhattan, and you see the fellow in front of you, pulls out his wallet, and without looking, just flicks it over his shoulder, middle of the street. This wallet is an aveda. If you don't do something quickly, it's going to be gone. Do you have a chiyuv to go grab that wallet and return it to him? So halacha is no. The halacha is it's called an aveda midas. He didn't watch it. He was pesheya. He put it in harm's way. You don't have a greater obligation to worry about his money than he does. And therefore, if he threw it onto the street without looking where and without caring about it, it's an aved midas, hefker or not, as malchagas rishayinim, but certainly you don't have an obligation to actively go ahead and return it to him. Zog, the Yamsha Shleima, and these other paiskim. The same thing is true on Leisamad Adam Reach. If a person knowingly puts his life in danger, he puts himself in harm's way, he's Peshaya bin Afshay, you don't have a Chiyav Hatzalah. If a person figures it would be really neat to go onto the beach during Hurricane Sandy and get a good picture of himself, so if he's going ahead, he knows it's a Sakana and he's putting himself in harm's way, he can't then desperately call and say, please send a helicopter, send a boat, get me out of here. He put himself in danger. There's no, it's an aved midas. There's no chiyuv hashav. Problem is, what about this gemara? You sold yourself to cannibals. Oh, so wait, hold on. So the problem is, what happened to this gemara? The gemara says you sold yourself to cannibals, and even three times you have to rescue him. So l'chor, you see, even though you put yourself in harm's way voluntarily, you have a chiyuv to be matzel him. So the Yamsha Shleima and others are matcha there too. They say either they make new kimta. The fellow did not realize they were cannibals. He knew he was what? Yeah. Okay. Right. Or they say that he didn't actually sell himself to cannibals. The case was he borrowed money from the mafia. He figured he had a way to pay it back. And then, when he didn't pay it back in time, they said, okay, you're coming with me. We're taking you as a slave. Now his life is in danger. So there, although it's not recommended to borrow from the mafia, but if when he borrowed, he thought there was a respond, there was a chejman, there was a way to pay, so you can say it was an aved midas, may not be a wise thing to do, but it doesn't rise to the level of aved midas, and therefore there is a chi of hashav. Now, based on this halacha, Yamsha Shleima takes it a step further. He says if a person steals from a guy, he said back then, if a person was caught stealing, you were killed. Zok the Yamsha Shleima, if you steal from a guy, it's the same thing as knowingly selling yourself to cannibals. It's ma'abaras meledas, and therefore he says, ein poitinoi seikla. You let him get killed, you have no chiv to get involved and to save him. And that is the sheet of the Yamsha Shleima. Now, although this is the Shita of the Yamsha Shleima in Gittin, the Divri Malkiel, Chelek Hei Simen Samach, the Ksav Sefer, Ebenezer Simen Mem Vav, and the Grip, Chelek Aleph, Daf Kufayin Gimel, but Lamaisa, the Igros Moshe in Yeridei, Chelek Beis, and Kufayin Dalad, very strongly argues, and he says that it's a Toyos Gomer, he says, Chas V'Shalom to be Mekel with it, and he says, Lahalacha, if you have a person who is Ma'amad Atzai Ladas, a person who attempts to commit suicide, he says, his there is a chiyuv to be matzel and chas v'shalom to be meikel. That it, as lahalacha, there is certainly is a chiyuv hatzala even if a person is ma'abed atzmei ledas. So although this Yamsha Shleima is not lahalacha and chas v'shalom to be meikel, but again it's a svara which, and we'll get back to it at the end of the sugya. Perhaps it will be chazilitz tarufe when you have the other svaras as well. Now lemaisa, if you look at the tshuvas that discuss similar cases, they don't directly, they don't bring down this Yamsha Shleima, but Maram Lublim in Simon Tezayin, the Knesset Yecheskel and the Chavis Yor that was quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, they all discuss similar cases as a Ritvaz also in Hilchos Ritzeach. They all discuss similar cases where there was a criminal that was caught and now there's an issue, there's a question of Pidyon Shvuyah, and they all nem on not like this Yamsha Shleima. The old Nemot, even though he was a criminal, he was caught, there is a Chiyuv Hatzalah. But it's very likely they're arguing on the second Chiddush. And that is, it's one thing for a person to go ahead, middle of a hurricane, he runs onto the beach, so that's Ma'abed Atzam Ledas. On the other hand, if a person is a Ganiv, there are many Ganovim that get away with it. And therefore, the fact that it may be usher to do, it may be wrong, it may be irresponsible, I don't know that they must hold, it doesn't rise to the level of Ma'abed Atzam Ledas. And that's why they hold there is a chi of pidyon shvuyah, even though the person is a ganav, even though he's a criminal, and he was caught, there still would be a chi of hatzalah.
If the guy is the person who's in the hand of other people, mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll get back to that. We're not finished with this. There's another. We have to go through another whole part of the sukkah. But just to address part of that question, there is a Maram Makom. There is a, the Dr. Moshe Simon Shin Pei Ches brings down a Maram Mirizberg that says, that deals with a case where a Jew was involved with counterfeiting money. And there he says, not only is no chiyuv hatzala, there you warn him to stop. If he doesn't listen, you call in the feds. But the Chavis Yaru explains, the pshat over there is that if you, back then, counterfeiting coins it was treason. It undermined the entire currency, the entire malchus. If anyone who got caught dealing with counterfeit coins was killed. Now, if this yid was going around with counterfeit coins, then it was a tremendous sakana, because they would catch him, they'd take anyone who he dealt with or who was in the room with him at the time. And more than that, if he was dealing with counterfeit coins, that means when he went to buy a lulav and esrog, when he bought his matzah, he's busy spreading around these counterfeit coins within the Jewish community. So there, in that case, it's a sakana for the entire community. Clearly, you would have the right to go ahead and once you warn him, you call in the feds, you get him arrested, and that way you're getting rid of a danger. But Zok Chavis Yar, if he's just a run of the mill criminal, he's stealing, pickpocketing, whatever he's doing. So there are Yiddish pickpockets, there are Goyish pickpockets. That's not a sakana, and he says there the chiyuv of pidyon shvuyim would apply. Again, we'll get back. We'll have to get back to this. But from this sugya, this is what it sounds like: that if his life is in danger, even unless it was a level of aveda midas, there's a chiyuv to save him. If his life is not in danger, so then we see if he does it regularly, if he did it three times, or if it's very ruggle in the community, there's a tikkun olam. But the absence of a tikkun olam, then again, there was a chiyuv to save him up to three times. So this is the first half of the sugya. Now the Gemara continues and brings up another factor. Let's go back to our story where the fellow is enslaved to a bunch of cannibals. And he went to Rav Ami and said, "Save me." So Rav Ami said that okay, he was ready to redeem him. I'm related to Rabban and Rav Ami. So the Chachamim said to Rav Ami, "Not so fast. Hi Yisrael Mumaru. Don't be so quick to save this person. He's a mummer. He eats nevelus and treifus. He doesn't keep kosher. If he doesn't keep kosher, you have no business saving him." Now the Mefarshim are medayik that this is dafka when there's edus. The Rabbanon, there were two people that were made in front of Rav Ami, in front of the Beis Din, and they testified this person is not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. In the absence of that, if it's just a rumor, if it's unsubstantiated, you certainly cannot, that's Stam Lashon Hara, you can't be Makabel. But the Gemara is saying that if he is Ochol Nevelos Utreifus, if he is not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, then you don't save him. So Rav Ami responded, no. He says like this, Amar Lei, Eimo L'Teavon Hu Dekachel. It's true he eats nevelos and treifos, but maybe he's hungry. He's l'tayavon. He has a taiva. And if a person does an aveira, even though it's a terrible aveira, but he does it l'tayavon, he's doing it because he has a taiva. He's hungry. There, although it's aser, still I'm allowed. The halacha is you're allowed to be paid to him. So the chum said back to him. They said no. V'azimnin de'ikah hater b'yisura kamei b'shavik hater b'achol yisura. So Chum said no. There were times where this person, he had a kosher sandwich and he had a treifa sandwich. He had a choice between the two, and he picked the treifa sandwich. Now in that case, he has no excuse l'teyavon. He wasn't over the yisra out of desperation because he was hungry, because there was the kosher sandwich right next to it. I guess it tasted as it was just as tasty, and therefore, but clearly his motivation was not teyavon. His motivation was shalag v'teir v'achol yisur. He didn't care. He was over the yisra lahachas. So if Ami said, if that's the case, armalei zil loyko shavki li dafur kinuch. If Ami said, if that's the case, if he's a mumer lahachas, if he's doing aveiros, not because he's getting a physical benefit, he's doing it just because he doesn't care, he's not makbid on Isurim, can't be poi to him, and he sent him away. So we see from this Gemara two basic points. The first point, which is the maskana of the Gemara, is that a mumr lahachis, someone who is shavek eter v'achol yisuri, he's over Isurim not because he has a taiva, not because he's hungry and he can't control himself, he's over the Isser simply because he doesn't care. He's considered a mumer lahachis. He is like an apikoiris. And there, it is Osir to be poi to him. Not only is it not a mitzvah, there's an Isser, such a person, You don't worry about him. If whatever happens to him is just fine, and it would be usher to go ahead and to be poidim and to try to save him. That's a mumr lahachas. A mumr l'teavon, if he's doing these averos, but he's doing it because he's hungry, he's doing it because he has a taiva that he can't control, there, Rav Ami was ready to save him. Not only that, if it's not clear why he's doing the Isser, you don't know whether it's L'Tayavoin or L'Hachis, it's clear that Rav Ami was ready to save him. He says, Amer L'Tayavoin, maybe it's L'Tayavoin. A person has a Cheskos Kashrus, so even though you see his Ivory Surim, the Cheskos Kashrus says, assume it was only L'Tayavoin. You can't make him into a Min, you can't make him into L'Hachis unless you have clear evidence. So if it's a Mormor L'Tayavoin, there's no Isser to save him. Now here there's machlokes rishonim. When a person is a mormor l'teavon, he eats. He's not makbid on kashrus, but he's doing it because of a taiva, because he's hungry. So there's certainly no isser to save him, but is there a chiyuv to save him? So the Gemara really doesn't have a raya. Rav Ami said, "I'm going to save him." He says it's l'teavon. Doesn't mean there's a chiyuv. And the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch both paskin that a mormor l'teavon, someone who's constantly doing averus but he's doing it for a taiva, there's no iser to say, but there's no chiyuv either. It's a rishos. It's a lifnei mishuras hadin. It's a nice thing to do. There's no iser, but you cannot be mechayev someone to be matzel someone who is a mormor l'teavon. Now, mormor l'teavon, by the way, doesn't mean that every once in a while he does an avera. Many people do averus. A mormor l'teavon means he's doing it regularly. He's a mummer, he's doing it all the time, but since it's l'teavon, because he just can't control his taiva, the Rambam paskins, there's no iser to save him, but there's no chiyuv either. So as far as mummer l'teavon, according to the Rambam, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if he does it regularly, or in occasional avera, that's unfortunately most people. But if he's doing it regularly as a mummer, but it's l'teavon, the Rambam says there's no iser to save him, but there's no chiyuv, it is l'fnei mishuras hadin. Now, although the Shulchan Aruch passes like that, and no one argues, at least over here, the Pisrei Tshuva brings down his Medayik from the Chabas Yor and from the Knesset Yecheskel and from the Smaram Lublin. The Goyin is also the Goyin and Chavetz Chaim all argue, and they are Medayik from Taisus in Avodah Zarah, not like this, and they say by a Mormor L'Teavon there is a Chiyuv to be Matzalim. If you have a Yid, he does Averos, but it's L'Teavon. Even though he does it fairly often, still, according to most Paiskim, there is a Chiyuv Hatzalah. There is actually one exception, the Kesem Mishnah, the Chusur Ritzeach, and the Taz brings it down as well, says the person does it constantly. He has a case of a Raya, that's his whole profession, his job is to steal money. That's what he does all day. What he's been doing for the past 10 years, he's been running one big Ponzi scheme. So even though it's clearly it's L'Teavon, he's not doing it L'Hachis, and Mormor L'Teavon, the Chavetz Chaim and the Goyin Paskin is a Chiyuv Hatzalah. But once it hits the level where it's mamish constant, that's what he does all day, that's his parnasa, there already they say, there's no Chiyuv Hatzalah, there they medame to a min where there's an Isser to save him. Now, where to draw the line? At what point we say he's a professional ganav, and when you say it's occasional, it needs a shikul hadas. But I'll call upon him in a regular case, or a mormor l'teavon, most paiskim do say that there is a chiyuv hatzalah. Now, based on this, let's go back to our criminal. In the case of a criminal that gets caught, so our first discussion was in Hilchos Pidyon Shvuyim. Do you have to be paid to someone who's a shavuot? And there we saw that we have the marshal that said that if he's ma'abad aslam nidas, there's no chiyuv. But assuming he's not ma'abad aslam nidas, assuming he did it, he thought he'd get away with it, it doesn't rise to that level, there is a chiyuv to save him unless you have that he did it three times, or this tikkun olam would kick in. But normally you would have a chiyuv atzal. But now we have to deal with another issue. And that is a person is a criminal. So if he did it once or twice, okay, so he did it either once or twice, we'll go back to the original halachas. But if the person is doing it constantly, assuming if he's stealing money, so someone who's stealing, besides being a criminal, he's being over in Yisr Gezel. If he's regularly being over in Yisr Gezel, so now he's a mummer, l'davar achar. Now maybe the teyavoin, he's stealing not for the kicks, he's stealing because he needs the money, but a mummer l'teyavoin, we have this machlekes. According to the Mechaber, a mummer l'teyavoin, there's no chiyuv hatzalah. Now over here, the Shevet HaLevi says like this. He says, although the Iker Hadin, a Mumr L'Teavoin, we hold there is a Chiyuv Hatzalah. We pass in like Taisus, like the Goyim, like Chavetz Chaim, that if it's L'Teavoin, you have to save him. Zog the Shevet HaLevi, B'mokoyim, there's no Sakana whatsoever. If Bezdin sees that we're better off having this person behind bars, then if he's free, if he's roaming the streets, he's just going to steal from other people and cause problems. He says, then Bezdin can go and be soimich on the Shitas HaMechaber, Shitas HaRambam, that if he's a Mumr L'Teavoin, if he's doing this regularly, then there would be no Chiyuv Hatzalah. So the Shevet HaLevi, Taka Pasin Halach L'Maisa, as long as you know that this jail will not be a Sakana, which could be, it depends whether it's, you know, maximum security or minimum, it depends on the situation. But if there's no Sakana, and this person did it regularly, and there's a Taya Ellis having him behind the bars, the other Shevet HaLevi says, is Maknim Semich on the Shitas, but by Mumr L'Teavoin, you don't have to be paid to him. Now you also will have, if he does it regularly, you also have this Kesef Mishnah, that if he's mamish a career criminal, the Kesef Mishnah says if you're constantly doing the Yisur day in, day out, constantly, that's worse than Ochel Neveos L'Teavoin, and the other Kesef Mishnah holds that there will be another reason why you would not have to be paid to him. But in a case where it's not that common, or it's a case where he doesn't where it's just on occasion, there the Ikar HaDin would be that there would be a chiyuv of pidyon shvuyim. Now, as far as halacha l'maisa, if a person is not from, is certainly a mumr l'teavoin, and if he's mechal shabbos v'hersi, or if he's a koyfer, he should have a din of mumr l'hachis, where there should be an isser to give tzedakah. Nevertheless, it's Yidua Divrei Chazonish that today he says everyone has a din of at least of a Suffolk Tinik Shenishba. We assume that people who are not Shemar Torah Mitzvahs are doing it because they never had proper Teichacha. And based on that, there certainly would be no, the Chazonish says, you have a Chiyuv L'Achayosai, and today there would be a Chiyuv to give him Tzedakah. If you have someone who's a Shana Upirish, could be it's different. Could be, it wouldn't be a Tinik Shenishba, but your typical not from person, the Chazanish and Shlomo Zalman Arbach and others, Paskin, there is a Chiyuv to give tzedakah, and these halachos would not apply to a typical case. Now, that being said, although there is a Chiyuv to give tzedakah, the Beis Shlomo says, even if he doesn't have a din of a mummer, but in Hilchus Kedima, that's another story. You have a choice, you have a limited amount of funds, and you have to decide who to give the money to. So certainly if you have one person who's a Shemar Torah Mitzvah in Erlich Chayit and another person who's not, certainly the Shemar Torah Mitzvah should have Kedima. That's where you should be focusing the bulk of your money. Shlomo Zalman says there's a concept of Eva. So you should give, just like by a Goy, you give Yishem Eva. So someone who's not from, you should at least give something. But as far as prioritizing, as far as if you want to know where, what the best use of your money is, certainly someone who's a Shemar Torah Mitzvah should come first. Now, these are the halachos of when you're dealing with, we discussed originally dealing with a guy, and this is the halachos of dealing with a mumr. How do you prioritize? If you're dealing with, you have a bunch of aniyim, they're all shomer Torah mitzvahs, how do you prioritize who gets your money? Where do you focus your tzedakah on? Now, we're going to have to deal with, there are really two separate questions we're going to have to deal with separately. The first question is, within aniyim, which ani comes first? Family, Ani Yerucha, Ani Eretz Yisrael, and that's Hilchus Kedima. There's a separate issue, which we're not going to get to this week, and that is, how do you determine, how do you allocate the funds between giving to Aniyim, giving to Maistus? You have schools to support, you have other organizations that do Chesed, you have Aniyim. So that's a question that we're going to deal with when we go through Hilchos Ma'aser Ksafim. We talk about what you could use Ma'aser for and what you can. That's what we'll get back. We'll focus on that issue. But today, what we're going to start is discuss when you're dealing with Aniyim, how do you decide which Aniyim to give to? So over here, as we're going to see, there are two separate rules. The first rule is that the Gemara has a hierarchy, that the first level of Kedima. So kia b'cho evyoin means if you have an evyoin, b'cho means in you, your family. The first thing that you have to take care of is your family. Chayecho koidmin, and again, we'll discuss this again when we talk about Hilchos Ma'aser, how much stock a person has to give. But a person first has to provide for his family. After that, it says me'achar achecha, from one of your brothers. So from here we learn that your kroivim come first. Once your family, you have enough money to support your family, you have to take care of your relatives. And they have kedima. Relatives have kedima over any other aniyim. After that, once your family is taken care of, once your kroivim are taken care of, it says ba'achat sha'arecha. So you have to take care of ba'achat sha'arecha. You have to take care of the people in your city. And as everyone knows, aniyei ircha kaidman. The people, the aniyim of your city have kedima over aniyim from other cities. Pasuk then continues, ba'artzecha. Ba'artzecha means in Eretz Yisrael. And from here we learn that the aniyim of Eretz Yisrael have kedima over aniyim from Chutz La'aretz. Now, if you live in Chutz La'aretz, the aniyim of your city come before aniyim of Eretz Yisrael. But once you're going outside of your city, once you're going to another, so then you first give to Eretz Yisrael before giving to other cities, even if they're closer to you, even if they're in the same country. And after that comes everyone else. So basically you have the hierarchy is first you take care of yourself, you take care of your relatives, you take care of the aniyei ircha, aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and then everybody else. Now, although that is the general rule, we'll go through each of the categories and we'll see each category is really broken down into many subcategories. The first halacha is chayecha kaidman, you have to take care of yourself. Now, yourself means yourself, it means your wife, because there's a chi of mazainus. That's not staka, that's the chi of ksuba. There's also a chi to support your children. Now, the chi to support your children is certainly until they're 6 years old. Between 6 and bar bas mitzvah, there is a secondary chiyuv. Once they're gedolim, once they're bar bas mitzvah, it goes into the category of tzedakah, according to most paiskim. Again, this nigger special we'll discuss another week. But once they're gedolim, that already goes into kroivim. They have kedima over most other aniyim because they're closely related to you. But it's the begeder tzedakah. However, before you give to your children are not considered your closest karev. The closest karev to a person is his parents. And the halacha is, if a person's parents need money, they have kedima. And you have to give your parents all, if they need it, you have to give them all of the tzedakah money before going to other people. They are considered your closest relatives. Only after you give your parents are being supported, then the chiyuv to your children who are gedolim would kick in. But the first kedima is to parents. That's the closest karev is the chiyuv kibud av v'aim, and they certainly would come first. After your parents, so you have your children who are over by mitzvah. That's the second level of kedima. After that, you probably have your grandchildren. After your grandchildren, you would have grandparents. Grandparents is actually in Hilchos Kibud Av Ve'Eim. There's an halachos where there is a Kibud Av Ve'Eim by your grandparents. The Ramah paskins that there is, but the Goyin says it really depends on the grandparent. A father's father, he says there is a chiyuv. A mother's father, he says the chiyuv Kibud Av Ve'Eim does not apply. And it's machlokes apaiskim over there, but if you have a question, a choice between the two, your paternal grandparents would have kedima over your maternal grandparents. After that, you go to your other kroivim. Now, what does it mean, a karev? Very often you have a wealthy person, and suddenly every ani discovers they are 18th cousins, 6 times removed. They become kroivim. Does that mean they have kedima? So over here, most places can explain that no, that you need to be enough of a karev that you're pasul eidus. Rishon b'rishon, sheni b'sheni is, you know, if you have cousins, there certainly are pasul eidus, so certainly would be a chiyuv tzedakah. Once you get to past cousins, you get to a rishon b'shlishi, that's raya machlokes. You know, past a rishon b'shlishi, that certainly there would be no chiyuv. So first cousins, there definitely is a chiyuv. Once you get past that, it gets questionable. Now, what about your wife's kroivim? So over here, there is Maram Ziskin brings down that your wife's kroivim, he says, do not have a din of kroivim. He said, but they have a din of aniyei ircha. Even though they live in another city, even if they're not local, they come after your kroivim, but at least equal to the other aniyim in the city. The Aruch HaShulchan argues, the Aruch HaShulchan says, ishta kegufay, and says that your wife's kroivim have to be treated the same way. I don't know if there's a clear hachra for Shalom Bayis. I would certainly recommend it to follow the Aruch HaShulchan. But that is the machlokes. The Aruch HaShulchan would hold they have equal footing. Rambam Ziskin would hold that they have some kedima over other aniyim, but not quite as much as a kroivim. Rambam Ziskin actually theorizes you should make a 3-to-1 split. For every $3 you give to your kroivim, you should give $1 to the kariv of your wife. Now that's as far as relatives. The next level we said is aniyei ercha kaidman. Now, aniyei ercha is actually also broken down. That it's in the Tanna de'Bel Yo, it says your shchuna, your neighborhood. A neighborhood back then was a cluster of three houses. That comes before the rest of the city. Your mavui, your alleyway, if you live in a cul-de-sac, that also has kedima. And after that, you go to the rest of the city. So you see, you don't just lump the entire city together. If you have a neighbor who lives right next to you, who lives on your block, they would have kedima over the rest of the aniyim in the city. People in your city have kedima over other cities. But after aniyei ercha, we would come to Eretz Yisrael. Within Eretz Yisrael, the Chasam Sofer says Yerushalayim is kedima over all other cities. After aniyei Eretz Yisrael comes, the aniyim comes all other aniyim. Now the fundamental question that we have to deal with, and we'll deal with this Mirtz Hashem next week, is this is all very nice, it's Hilchos Kedima. But what does Kedima mean? Does Kedima mean that you, to the exclusion of everyone else? Does it mean you give only to your family members, you don't give a dime to the other Aniyei Ercha or Aniyei Eretz Yisrael or Aniyei Yer Acheres? Or does Kedima just mean they have priority? But there has to be some level of split. So we're going to discuss it. We're going to see that there are different shitas. It'll depend on the circumstances. But that's a very fundamental question in allocating the tzedakah. How far does Hilchos Kedima go?